flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, hang on. How have the Commanders not just made the playoffs, but won 2 games in the playoffs with a rookie quarterback?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
How is that possible?
Well, they must have been a really good team last year. Did they trade up for that pick, or were they?
Oh, no, they were. Yeah, it must have been like the year the Ravens traded back in the first round and took Lamar, right? They just a team that's always
that's
in the mix.
What it was. Or did they, you know what it was? They had a really good coach already in place. And what?
A lot of talent on that roster, like a really good roster.
Still don't have a lot of talent. Even with they have a GM that knows what he's doing, at least. He came in there, helped turn things around.
They do have a new GM. That's helpful.
So they went.
Not a guy handing out contracts to Ramondre Stevenson and Saquon Barkley and all the crappy players. Yeah, they turned over their roster.
So you're telling me when Adam Peters got to Washington, his first thing wasn't re-sign all the guys from the 4-win team a year ago?
I'd have to dig in deeper, but correct, yes.
So new head coach, new GM, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
You give him any chance? I haven't even asked you this today. Do you give him any chance against the Eagles?
Yeah. I gave him no chance really against the Lions.
Same.
I mean, we said, you know, they had a better shot at upsetting the number one seed than the Texans did. So, like, whatever. I guess we gave him a little bit of credit for that. But they split with the Eagles in the regular season. I think it was a home and home, though, right? I think the home team won both games.
Correct. They lost a Thursday nighter in Philadelphia, 26-18, and then they beat Philly 36-33 late in the year.
Yeah, sometimes it's just your year. Because guess what? Did I think they were going to beat the Bucs? No, I didn't. Did I think they were going to beat the Lions? No, I didn't. So I definitely give them a chance this weekend.
What if they won 7 in a row? They won their last 5 regular season games and then 2 playoff games. They won 7 in a row. So they certainly have momentum.
And I don't even know what Jalen Hurts' status is going to be, because he did finish the game, as he told the reporter afterwards, but his knee got all twisted around. So even if he plays and he's like a little hobbled versus this crazy momentum run that the Commanders are on, I don't know, maybe this is one of those years where it is one of the last teams into the playoffs making it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's been a while since we've seen one of those, right?
Yeah,
like there was
Eli
a
Manning Giants.
That's what I was gonna say. There was a stretch where it was like Eli going on a run, Flacco going on a run. Like there was a stretch where you had a lot of wild card teams doing that. I think did Rodgers do that at one point? I think Rodgers did it as a wild card.
Were
team.
The Packers a wild card team?
Yes, yeah. I thought so. So that there was a stretch where that happened a lot. I feel like it's been a while since that's happened, but perhaps I'm wrong. We'd have to investigate more. Beyond Jaden Daniels, like we all look at it and go, they drafted the quarterback, it changed the whole franchise. Beyond Jaden Daniels, what was the most important move that the Commanders made?
Cliff Kingsbury.
You think so?
I think so.
Even more so than Peters.
Maybe it was Peters. I mean, I think Peters will be more for the long haul, to be honest, because so Peters, even some of his signings, I was like, interesting. Now, like, Kingsbury is one of those guys.
Yep.
And but like Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz and this whole thing, like he got Jaden Daniels. Which, again, you have the second pick. So similar to our conversation here in New England, he didn't have a choice of Caleb Williams. So he got to choose between Daniels and May. And right now, it looks like a win.
I was going to say, I would not have made the choice he made. I would have taken Drake May over Jaden Daniels. So I'll give him credit for picking the right quarterback there.
I also don't know if Drake May wouldn't have had a good season in Washington with all that around him, too.
Good point.
Like, I don't know. Maybe he would have.
So he has... You know, veteran, competent. Yeah. None of them were great. Yeah. Meaning Ertz and Ekeler, the new batch they brought in.
Yeah,
but they're competent professional football players. He did have Terry McLaurin. That's far better than anything the Patriots have in their receiver room. He's also elevated crap like Dyami Brown and Zacchaeus and guys like this, which I give him a lot of credit for.
Yeah.
So
they really have.
Yeah, it's
Terry McLaurin. It's who's true awesome. Though.
Drake. What would Drake May have looked like in Washington this year? My guess is not as good as Jaden Daniels. My guess is not that
not.
Good.
No,
but. Yeah, he would have won a heck of a lot more games than he won here, that's for sure.
But I don't think anybody would have expected, even if you're like, hey, Jaden Daniels is going to have a good year, they're going to have a top five offense in the NFL. So I give Kingsbury a ton of credit because Terry McLaurin might be the only other guy besides Daniels of the skill position that you would really, really want. The other guys are all like, the Patriots probably have better tight ends.
Rather have Henry or Ertz?
Same, or Henry, actually.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Henry.
I would probably lean Henry there, but it's toss up.
The running backs might be better here, although again the fumble issues with Ramondre, and then even receivers 2 through 5 are kind of similar. Yeah. Like it's pretty amazing that they were able to take that, turn it into a top five offense. Got to give Dan Quinn some credit too, going to a conference championship game with that roster. So yeah, they turned everything over. I mean, think about that. They were the worst franchise in large part because of the owner. For years and years and years, and that guy's barely gone. Like ink had barely dried on the sail.
Good point.
And they're in the conference championship.
I'm thinking of the coach and the GM and the coordinator and the owner. Owner,
yeah.
GM,
yeah.
Front office, coach, yeah. Coordinators, quarterback, roster. It was a full turnover there. And not that you're going to get Kraft selling the team. That's wishful thinking. But the rest of it, this is what I wanted. I wanted like a full turnover, and it's still why I don't love the Vrabel hire. It still doesn't feel like a full turnover.
But does the turnover part. I was going to say, because the Vrabel hire on itself feels kind of like the Quinn hire. In fact, maybe
yes,
even a little bit more inspired, just in a vacuum.
You're bringing in a guy who's done it before. He's a retread coach. He's a defensive guy first. I just mean with the Patriots connections, it doesn't feel like a full turnover, but it's a lot better than the Mayo hire,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah. But that's also why the McDaniels hire would be kind of like, we're just trying to run it back with everybody but Bill and Brady. Like, I think you kind of need Bill and Brady.
And to your point, when I asked you earlier, you said Kingsbury is the most important move they made beyond Daniels. So you think OC is that important?
Oh, I think it's massive. I think it's important anywhere, but when you have a rookie second year, third year quarterback, it's even more important. I think, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, a few other guys. Yeah, you want to swap a guy out or a guy goes and takes a job, like whatever. Like they're now established. But I think for the rookie second year guy to make that leap forward, I think that guy's extremely critical. Like I think the Patriots offense, you know, with Alex Van Pelt and the lack of talent, then you see Cliff Kingsbury and their group and just like night and day difference for the kind of seasons that they had. I think it's huge because you need to throw whatever kind of support you can behind your rookie quarterback. Otherwise, they could be out of the league in a couple years.
It sounds like Josh McDaniels, probably still the favorite, but Mike Reese wrote about all the options for them over the weekend in his Sunday notes. He brought up a bunch of different names. He didn't spend a ton of time on McDaniels. The Patriots did interview a couple of candidates that would satisfy the Rooney Rule over the weekend. It was Marcus Brady, who's with the Chargers, formerly with the Colts, and then Thomas Brown, the interim head coach by the end of the year with the Bears, who's their offensive play caller this year.
I think they interviewed him last year, too, didn't they?
Did they?
I think Thomas Brown was one of their 12 or 13 guys last year.
So you can look at it one way and say, based on their interviews and who we know they've talked to so far, you could expect a Josh McDaniels announcement at any moment. Or maybe there's more to it. Maybe they're waiting out, as Reese pointed out, people who are still in the playoffs, people who are still haven't been knocked out yet, just a few of them.
Like they,
the note on Chip Kelly, who's playing
tonight.
That'd
be cool.
Ohio State plays tonight. Maybe they're waiting on Chip Kelly. I don't know. Reese called that an outside-the-box hire. So I agree. That's a very, very, very important hire. I hope it's not McDaniels, but it could make a huge difference with Drake May. It would make a huge difference with Drake May.
On a quick Rooney Rule note, it didn't seem like they learned any lessons from the backlash. So they interviewed two minority candidates publicly first.
Yep.
And then Ian Rappaport has that tweet, and he's like, they are now allowed to get their coach. And you're like, ugh. And then they have like the fake Ben Johnson one, and then they hire Mike Vrabel. And then it's really quiet, not a lot of names being tossed out there. It's all speculation for offensive coordinators. And then they announce their first two interviews. It's like, the minority guy candidates don't have to be the first two.
No.
You can like mix them in there and then like maybe throw us off the scent a little bit. You can interview 10 guys, and you don't have to have them as the first two. And then you're like, hey, good for us. We interviewed these again. Now it's clear we can go and get our guy.
All right, so here you're referencing Rap Sheet. Here's what he said over the weekend, and you're right. It's like they learned nothing from that.
No, it's the same crap.
Did they put him on the same tweet?
This time, no. Actually, I don't even know if they did
it. I don't know if they've even confirmed. They're still waiting on that tweet. Yeah. Here's what Rap Sheet had to say about their search over the weekend.
Let's talk about the Patriots' search for an offensive coordinator. A new coach, Mike Vrabel, has started that this week. My understanding is spent Tuesday interviewing Thomas Brown, the former Bears interim head coach, also interim offensive coordinator. Dealt with a lot in Chicago. Very impressive despite tough results on the field. Also sounds like they want to talk to Marcus Brady, who is now a Chargers assistant. That said, guys, as you know, most people believe that Josh McDaniels, former Patriots OC, actually a couple times, still lives in New England, currently not working, would be a prime candidate for that job, considered to be the favorite. I would expect Mike Vrabel to talk to him as they go about the process of trying to find a new offensive coordinator.
Okay.
The process, all right.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We know McDaniel still lives in New England. We have boots on the ground on this show telling us that he's been very active in the last 10 days getting his newspaper in his front yard.
Wearing his hat, just a lot of activity in the front yard, that kind of thing.
So while we're talking play callers, any shine come off your guy, Ben Johnson, this weekend?
I think it's overblown how much shine's come off. So they lost, not ideal. You were big-time favorites and you lost. His team's defense gave up 45 points. I know they had a lot of injuries. I think it looks worse for Aaron Glenn than it does Ben Johnson. They scored 31 points and had over 500 yards of offense. Jared Goff turned it over, four times? And then Jameson Williams. Now, the one that I think Johnson does deserve some blame for is the Jameson Williams pass that was picked off. Not necessarily the play call, but like in that spot, do you trust Jameson Williams to make the right decision? Because there's no way Ben Johnson was like, all right, you're going to get the ball, you're going to roll to the right.
Throw it and no matter what.
Just hawk it. I'm sure he's like, if he's open, throw it. If he's not, you know, run 2 yards and we'll run another play. And Jameson Williams is like, I'm going to make a play. But that is on the coach for like thinking that you could really trust the player when he really can't. That's really the one that stands out to me. I mean, they picked up a ton of yards and they scored enough points.
I just think, and look, I don't want to say Ben Johnson's bulletproof and you can't criticize him. And like, yeah, I thought that was a bad play call. And, you know, you have to wonder if they fell too in love with the gimmick play. This is my one criticism for Ben Johnson. I've heard this before where it's like, all right, every game you got to run 2, 3, 4 of these. Like, you can't just, with all the talent you have, you can't just line up and beat teams. Has he fallen too in love with the gimmick plays? And is his baseline offense good enough to beat teams like the Commanders? It should be. So I think that's fair, but it is weird. And I think there's a lot of pushback here in New England because there are pro-Vrabel people. I think there's a lot of pushback on Ben Johnson. And I'll name names on this. Our guy, Mike Kadlec, I like Kadlec a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw Kadlec doing some of this. Like, wow, Ben Johnson's supposed to be this offensive genius. Look at this play call. And so I think you get a lot of that pushback from the Vrabel people.
An offensive genius.
He is.
There was a lot of plays I'd never even seen before.
In that game, Brady said it on the broadcast. Yeah. And I think he was right. It was the handoff or whatever it was to David Montgomery, who then gave the shovel pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown for 20-plus yards.
It was a bad day for Jared Goff to turn back into Jared Goff.
Yes. And it's just, it's weird where all of the gimmick plays work all year long and then one doesn't work and you're like, well, he sucks. Like, that's a weird thing to
do. Not only that, but a bunch of them worked in this game.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't just like all season and then you ran like, here comes another hook and ladder and they throw it to the other team. It was like, no, they all kind of worked. Do you know how many times they punted in the game? Once, the first drive.
Is that it?
They punted once. So everything else either ended in a score, a Jared Goff turnover, or the
Jared Goff pick six.
Well, Jared Goff had three picks and a fumble.
Yeah.
It's like, is that all on Ben Johnson? I don't think so.
No, and you do have to wonder if they look at a different quarterback next year. You made the point for weeks and weeks and weeks. How's it going to look with different coordinators there? Does Dan Campbell get exposed? You can jump in on all this. 617-779-7937. Real quick before we hit the phones. I thought Brady had a good day. I said this earlier.
Tom Brady.
I've been very critical of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I thought Brady had a good call on Saturday night. I didn't see it coming. We've ripped him a lot for long bouts of silence and weird commentary or just obvious commentary. I thought he gave you good insight to situational football, timing on the clock. Like, he said something late in the game where he's like, you know, there's 30 seconds left, but you got to treat it like there's 15 seconds on the clock, blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought he had some good observations and insight. He spotted the 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
He cracked the good joke about Dan Quinn. Like, I thought he showed personality. There was good insight on the game. I thought maybe for the first time all year, Brady had a good broadcast.
Yeah, and now I'm less, not that I was worried for him, but less, you know, when the Super Bowl rolls around, is he just going to be the butt of all the jokes? Like, everybody's like, this guy, you're paying this guy $30 million or $40 million, and this is what he's doing. This was the best I had heard him. Yeah, I haven't watched or listened to him, I should say, for every single Sunday. We all were, you know, that first week, we're like, yikes, this is going to be a long year.
Yeah.
And then people have told us he's gotten better, and I'm like, I've heard him here and there. I'm like, I don't know. Like, he does seem to kind of lay out a lot, and there's really just not a lot of analysis, but he was good because more often than not, I feel like with the announcers that people don't like, it's the stupid stuff they say that kind of gets in the way. And you're like, what the hell is he talking about?
Or like Romo. Romo just gets in the way of himself with all the dumb commentary.
Sometimes, they'll just say stuff that's wrong or whatever. And then that wasn't the case with Brady. I can't think of a time on the game on Sunday where you're like, what did he just say?
No.
You're like, oh, he was solid.
No, I thought Brady was good. So we'll give him his due. We've been critical of Brady all year. Yep. Maybe it was a one-off or maybe.
Possible.
Maybe he's actually figured something out.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Eric in Texas. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Real brief. So regarding coaching and Vrabel, I think the Patriots are very lucky to have gotten them, especially this early in the process. When you consider the Bears have had an opening since Thanksgiving, and they're now looking at potentially hiring Eddie George or at least interviewing Eddie George, I mean, there are no good prospects out there in regards to getting a coach. So we got a guy that's going to come in.
Okay, that's Eric, that's way too strong. You don't think Flores is a good candidate? You don't think Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson are good candidates? Like, you can be happy with Vrabel, and a lot of people are. I think, question it more than most, Keith, but I wouldn't call him a bad coaching candidate. I should think this was an okay cycle for candidates. I think once you get past those four names, you like Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I like Liam Cohen.
Well, I mean, I don't love Kingsbury as a head coach. I just think that, like, if you're looking around, you want to prioritize that. That's why if you're going to go with defensive head coach, then the offensive coordinator becomes paramount. But if you don't like any of the defensive coaches, you might as well skip the step of the good offensive coordinator leaving you down the road to go be a head coach somewhere else and at least give that guy a shot here.
Yeah, I just don't think it was Vrabel and there were no other good candidates in this. I think Ben Johnson's a great candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the one bad trick play they ran on Saturday, I think he's a really good candidate, arguably the best. And he's probably going with Brady to Vegas, right? It sounds like.
I feel like that could definitely happen.
That sounds like where that's at. Anthony is in Nashua. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey there. First time caller. I love the show. Just wanted to make a point that doesn't really get mentioned is that Magic Johnson is the new owner, and there's that old saying that wherever he goes and wherever Jerry West goes, that success follows. And I just think, like, Dan Campbell gets all, like, the social media credit as far as, like, the hype man and, like, but I saw a video of each and every player getting to dap up, whatever, Magic Johnson right after that game.
What is?
And I just can't imagine that doesn't have a major impact in like how they play and how. Because it's not like he picked up like the number one team and turned that
yeah,
around.
Yeah, what is Magic's role with the command? Is he a
part of the ownership? Isn't
he? I know, but like what percent is what I mean. Like we know Brady has 5% of the Raiders.
Do we have any
idea what sort of stake Magic Johnson has in the team?
I'm not sure, but I kind of like it because don't you think he also turned around the Dodgers?
Well. There is something where winning has followed him around to a degree.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And, you know, maybe you're more willing to spend. Like, the Dodgers spend like crazy. We even talk about the signings they made this weekend.
I'll throw them in the grab bag.
Our guy. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's put it in the bag. Let's put those in the grab bag. But, like, the Dodgers are still spending. They're still snapping up every free agent out there. Maybe there's something to Magic. I would put that down the list.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say... Well, the real owner there, Josh Harris, the guy who actually, you know, put money into it.
Yep.
The GM, Adam Peters, even the coach, Dan Quinn, the coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, the draft pick, Jaden Daniels.
Hey, add it
some
to
of
the list.
Some of the free agents. But Magic, let's put Magic somewhere on there. I'd put him a little further down than the caller.
Yeah, put him on the list, though.
But it's good he had nice things to say about the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
617-779-7937. We talked about this with Jared Goff. If the shine came off him a little bit, and I said, if the Lions lose this week, he was one of the guys we had on our list. I think we agreed that Allen and Lamar had the most at stake this weekend, but I had Goff on that list as well because that Lions team is so good. 15 wins, talent everywhere. Oh, they're going to lose coordinators. You do wonder if people start to look at Jared Goff and go, exactly how the Rams did. All right, we can compete for a Super Bowl with this guy, but can we win it? Mm-hmm. Or do we need a Matt Stafford? So I don't know that there's an obvious...
Ironically enough.
Well, that's true. But I don't know that there's an obvious name out there.
For a quarterback upgrade? I don't think so in this offseason because Kirk Cousins
it's not
got
Cousins,
benched in Atlanta.
It's not Rodgers.
It can't be. Yeah, I'm not sure who the who that next guy
but
would
I
be.
But I also don't know that I felt like Stafford was going to be moved in that offseason. But like the Lions should be monitoring and active, I think, on the quarterback market. That doesn't mean... You blow up Goff for nothing.
Would you rather Wednesday, but would you rather have Jared Goff or Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I would rather have Goff.
Sam.
Yeah, Darnold, that's a good name that they could potentially, if they wanted to switch it over, they could. I mean, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's also just a bad year to need a quarterback. Like, if you want to move on from Goff, do it next year.
Because the draft isn't great.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Is there anybody in the draft you like?
No.
Not at the top, which they're where they wouldn't be drafting. So now I don't even like I do like Cam Ward and Shador, but I don't like the quarterbacks.
Quinn Ewers or Jared Goff.
That's what I'm saying. Do you want Quinn Ewers?
No, I think you just gotta trot it back again with Goff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where they're at. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Could you get Brock Purdy? Would they move off that? Like if the Niners went to Cousins, could you get Purdy?
Oh.
Could you get I'm just trying to think my way through some of the QBs that are out there. Could you get
Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew is always the guy available.
Aiden O'Connell.
Who do you like? I don't know. Maybe Minshew?
Derek Carr? Like, could the Saints move him? I'd rather have Goff.
Yeah, well, it's those guys.
Kyler? Would Kyler move?
Ooh.
No. Okay. The answer is probably no. Dak. Could Dak
Prescott
move?
Well, interesting. So where does Shedeur Sanders end up? Is it just with one of those top two picks, or does he block those and then somebody else who maybe has a quarterback? So, like, Dallas is actually not a bad one. Like, if Dallas turns it over to Deion and Shedeur, then now Dak is probably the best guy available of that group.
Let me give you another one while I'm just spitballing names.
Right.
I think he's a free agent. Fields? You'd rather have Goff.
Yeah.
I like Fields.
Yeah, I do too, but like,
crazy. I wouldn't go that nuts. 617-779-7937. More your feedback here. We have WEEI Afternoons taking over at 2 o'clock. It's Shime, Big Ben Johnson guy, and Mego. Big Commander's gal. So that comes your way at 2 o'clock. All your thoughts on that. I will get you our clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Billy's first words were
grab bag.